Welcome to the Exec MBA podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share my recent conversation with Will Payne and Charlie O'Farrell. Will and Charlie are second-year students in our Executive MBA class of 2022, and they are also leaders of the Executive MBA Entrepreneurship Club. Recently connected with Will and Charlie via Zoom to talk a little bit more about their backgrounds, how they decided to pursue an MBA, what led them to Darden, and what MBEC, or the Executive MBA Entrepreneurship Club, has in store for this year. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here is my interview with Will Payne and Charlie O'Farrell. Will, Charlie, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Brett, how's it going?
Thank you, Brett.
Well, Will, welcome back to the podcast. I think you may be one of the first, if not the first member of the Executive MBA class of 2022 to make it on here twice. Congratulations.
Thanks. I'm really honored. I mean, I feel like I'm a year older, and it's been about 8 months. So I'm excited.
That's right. When we recorded that, you were sitting at home in Bristol, Virginia. You are in a different location right now. Where are you right now?
I'm in Le Méridien, my home away from home, when we're here for On Grounds and getting ready for the weekend and doing my last minute cramming, getting ready for dinner. So excited to kick this weekend off with the podcast.
That's right. Class of 2022 weekend residency this weekend. Looking forward to it. A lot happening this weekend. I saw that there is a venture capital event on Friday night after class, and then Saturday, a plus one event. Y'all looking forward to that? Charlie, are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, absolutely, Brett.
I'm still working on my plus one.
Well, you got a little time here, Will. It's not until Saturday night, so you never know. Well, for the people who are just listening to the podcast, just getting into things, it's always helpful to kind of hear a little bit more about our guests. Will, recognizing that you've been on the podcast before, but if people haven't had a chance to listen to your episode, they should go back and listen to it. It's a good one. But tell us a little bit more about you and your background.
Sure. I'm a native of Richmond. I now live in Bristol, Virginia. And for those who don't know where that is, it's on the border of Tennessee. And we're kind of an area that borders a few states: West Virginia, Tennessee, Kentucky, North Carolina, and working on some innovative economic development work there around the two industries that I think present the region the greatest opportunity to reinvent itself. Now, with the demise of coal, what can you do? And for us, it's building on the legacy of success there. So energy and agriculture. And so we've got a bunch of different projects and exciting energy projects, but I'm really excited. Yesterday or 2 days ago, I guess, we announced a job project, 285 jobs. And these are going to be reshored from overseas with Earthlink. You know, I think we remember Earthlink back 20 years ago, you know, that company that you'd get the CD in the mail, the DVD, whatever it was then, and you'd get the free internet service for a certain period of time. Well, Earthlink's kind of reinvented itself and now has, you know, wireless internet. But this was a project we spent 22 months on. And so it kicked off this kind of marketing campaign down in Southwest. And this was the first prospect we had. And, you know, 22 months later, it's really exciting to see something, you know, that happened because the company, you know, was committed to the region, but also our, you know, perseverance, our persistence. You know, I learned a lot about patience, you know, over the last 2 years, and this is a great example of this project. And what a victory for the region to have a high-tech company decide its new location in the U.S. is going to be in a rural area like Southwest Virginia.
Well, congratulations, Will. That's super exciting. And I can only imagine what it feels like to have, you know, that much time, that much work pay off and to have that kind of real impact on people's lives.
It makes a lot of us feel good because, you know, we're in a region that's hurting, high unemployment, low average salary, more people than jobs. And, you know, our focus has been from the beginning thinking about, you know, not the last 30 years that got us to where the region is today, but the next 30 years. And what kinds of companies do we want to attract? And What we're trying to do is a different model for economic development that's purely relationship-based, and leveraging relationships, a lot of political relationships, in order to get meetings and, you know, to cut some deals. And we've had three projects like that. And that's, you know, all because of relationships. And this is a good example, a company that, and the other ones that, you know, a lot of prospects we talk to are unfamiliar with the area, unfamiliar with the assets. And until you get on the ground, until you bring the right people into the conversation, our workforce, our community colleges, understand what is the secret sauce about a region like Southwest Virginia, you know, that's what we're trying to shed light on for companies and CEOs that are unfamiliar with, you know, with that region.
Well, appreciate your sharing a little bit more about who you are, and congratulations on making it to quarter seven in the program. It's hard to believe y'all are just a few quarters away from being done. Charlie, also a member of the class of 2022, getting ready for a weekend residency. Charlie, tell us a little bit more about you and your background.
Yeah, thank you, Brett. So like Will, I was born in Richmond. I actually still reside in Richmond. And after college, I got into medical device sales, and I have spent the last 10 years in that industry, and specifically in the orthopedic realm. I had I was fortunate enough to be able to work for two successful startups. The first one IPO'd on the Swedish NASDAQ, and the second one was acquired. So that experience honestly gave me a lot of insight into working amongst the different verticals inside a business, and obviously propelled me to get my MBA here at Darden.
All right, and congratulations to you as well for making it to this point. Y'all are officially second year students. Charlie, does that feel surreal to you to be in the second year of the executive MBA program here at Darden?
Yeah, I think, again, I'm going to piggyback off of Will. You know, the whole comment about feel a year older, but we're only 8 months in through. But yeah, no, it's definitely nice to be through that first year. And I'm definitely excited to be going on into the elective portion of the program, which is, you know, obviously the second half of the program, where, you know, I've really focused on trying to garner as many hard skills as possible in the finance realm and leadership.
All right, Charlie. Well, I'm going to stay with you for this next question, and then we'll kick it over to Will. But tell us a little bit more about how you decided to pursue an MBA. How did you decide that, you know what, this is the right path for me from an educational and professional standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, so since my time as a business economics major in college, I've always wanted to get my MBA. So I was fortunate to get a job out of college that I fell in love with, and, you know, life happens, and fast forward 10 years and here I am. So I traveled a lot for work, and when the pandemic hit, I was able to, you know, try and put a positive spin on it. Travel slowed. And so that's when I decided it was time to fulfill my dream of getting an MBA.
All right. So it sounds like the timing worked out, and you finally felt like, okay, now is the time. This is my window.
Yes, exactly. And it is, again, something I've always considered.
How about you, Will?
I considered it off and on, but it was really about 2 years ago, I realized with a lot of my work, it was a need, a necessity, I guess. And I've been, kind of, I mentioned, you know, focus on economic development, and a piece of that is a lot of, you know, lead generation for business prospects, and we're dealing directly with CEOs and their leadership teams. You know, we've got to understand, especially in the area where we are, and as we look at, you know, we're competing against Southside Virginia, North Virginia, Hampton Roads, and other states. I knew I had to understand all the considerations a CEO was making when thinking about expanding a business, and in order to get meetings here, also need to build credibility, and I need to build trust. And the MBA is, I mean, certainly there's utility there, but I tell you, just the last year, you know, it feels like, I remember, you know, when we first started, I think about high school and college, it feels like, you know, when you're a freshman, and all the nerves there. And now I feel like just a year later, I feel like a senior, you know, and all that time spent with our classmates, our faculty, the whole team, has made me a stronger person, more confident person, and more bold. and that's, you know, that's the value of this MBA well beyond the classroom.
So Will, I knowing a little bit about your background and having some background in politics, as I recall our previous conversation, and imagine the work that you're doing now, you're talking to a lot of business leaders. Is it helpful to you to kind of, the MBA, is that allowing you to kind of understand their perspective and speak the language, so to speak?
Yeah, it does. And when I was doing a lot of political work, I was specializing in coalitions of business leaders on both sides of the aisle. And I've worked for candidates on both sides of the aisle, and really excited that, you know, that first time crossing the aisle, you know, for a lot of people could be death, you know, professionally, you know. But the relationships I developed, because I was focused on, and you know, the business community, really helped, you know, guide me through that process. And it's those relationships, you know, kind of understanding, you know, their work, their concerns, relate to their businesses, kind of helped me figure out what was going to be our plan here. And I, you know, when I ask a question, I can from pretty good knowledge of, you know, what they're going to say, or at least a couple options of what they're going to say. And so I think all these years of, you know, spending more time with business leaders and politics instead of, let's say, others in, you know, in politics, has given me a leg up in, you know, insight into kind of what's going on in their mind. So, and then of course with this program, it's only helped me, you know, as Charlie mentioned, you know, the hard skills, while he has really excelled at those, I know in class, it was a steep learning curve for me, but one that, you know, I'm really proud that I can apply a lot of the principles, you know, from accounting, from finance, to our work today as we look at valuing a project, energy project, for example, or trying to anticipate for our ag project, you know, future revenues here as we try to grow, literally grow, you know, our small grains.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit more about Darden. Charlie, what about Darden resonated with you? How did Darden get on your radar?
Yeah. So, you know, again, when I was a business econ major in college, I honestly, not only did I want to go get my MBA, but I specifically always wanted to get my MBA from Darden. So, that's the easy answer. Another thing I would say is, you know, simply put, it's, you know, it's a really well-known program, right? So just yesterday we were ranked the number 9 MBA program in the country and number 2 among public schools by Bloomberg Business Week. And so I thought, you know, those were obviously just it being a great recognition type of program was important to me. And also, you know, the case method is something we always talk about, but I feel like the diversity of thought, and of course, I listened to several of your podcasts, Brett, and that really steered me home here to Darden.
Well, we always appreciate a podcast plug here on the podcast. to me, I think the best thing about the podcast, and certainly the thing I've enjoyed the most, is if you're a prospective student and you're trying to get a sense of what's this like? And, you know, why do people take this step and what do they get out of it? You know, from a student perspective, you know, what's been the impact of the program? This is such an incredible way to kind of share that perspective directly from students with prospective students. Y'all are just talking authentically from your own experience. And I think that's a very, very powerful thing. Will, I'm going to come to you. Same question. You know, why Darden? Sure. How did Darden get on your radar?
First, I already know, you know, the university well, as a someone who grew up in Virginia, and certainly know the strength of of Darden, as Charlie mentioned, incredible ranking in Virginia among publics in the nation. But I've had, you know, three close friends go through the executive program recently and was able to kind of learn about their experience from day one to when they graduated. And it was really intriguing for me. And I was also able to meet Dean Beardsley for the first time, I guess maybe 4 years ago, when he was talking about his book, Higher Calling. It was really giving the time, and still now, my last year on William Mary's Board of Visitors, he was, you know, at our summer retreat, trying to help us, you know, work through a number of issues and talk about our role as board members for a public institution. And so I have a great deal of respect for him and for, you know, the path Darden is taking.
Well, Will, let me stay with you for this next question, and kind of picking up on something that you shared earlier. So we always tell prospective students, when people come into Darden, there's so many learning curves, you know, particularly for working professional students who are juggling work, life, and school. For you, you know, when you reflect upon your first year, now you're a second year student, but when you look back on that first year and you think about those first few quarters, what were some of the challenges for you? What were some of your learning curves?
Sure. You know, it goes back to when I came from my tour back in January of 2020 and sitting in on Shane DeColey's accounting class. You know, it wasn't going back to my college experience, the quantitative, you know, courses, I think I took the minimum that I had to graduate, wasn't a big focus for me. And so that was always my fear when applying, am I going to be able to cut it, you know, and can I, you know, survive this program, knowing that that's a key component to the program. And so that when I started, it was a fear of mine, but quickly, you know, realized that I could do it, you know, and it was able to in the first, you know, three quarters, thanks to my learning team, thanks to other, you know, classmates and to our professors, all very patient and supportive and able to set up, you know, prep sessions. I'm really proud of how this program has, you know, gotten me over a hump, you know, and be able to now use these concepts from finance and accounting, and along with the exciting, you know, the other courses that I've really enjoyed, and, you know, marketing and design thinking and now entrepreneurial thinking.
And Charlie, you mentioned having maybe more of a traditional background. I mean, you kind of think about this kind of binary that people sometimes reference with respect to pre-business school academic paths, right? So you had taken, sounded like, business and econ as an undergrad, and you come here to Darden, MBA program, but nevertheless, graduate school, business program and case method, all these kinds of things. What were your learning curves?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, just to echo Will, I mean, it really for me was just being back in a class setting, you know, just not being in a class setting for 10 years. But, you know, even more notably for me, taking classes on Zoom, that was definitely an adjustment that I had to get used to. But I will say, you know, just in terms of obviously doing work meetings on Zoom and Teams and other platforms, the classroom experience is a little bit different, but very easy to get adjusted to. It just takes a little bit of time. And I will say, I think for me, you know, things changed a lot when I was able to be in person for the first time. You know, I left that first weekend on a high, after having already established many new friendships and feeling really good about the relationships and the cohort in general, which was also a major reason as to why I wanted to get my MBA.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about, I mean, I just want, for our listeners that may be listening and sort of thinking about, gosh, class of 2022, what was that class's journey? I mean, so your class started in August of, gosh, let me make sure I do this right, August of 2020, and very much in you know, challenging time to get large groups of people together. Pre-vaccine, obviously, you began the program. Orientation in LR1 was fully virtual, largely because, you know, we weren't going to be able to get 150 or so people together in the way that we have traditionally in this program. And kind of went through the first year or so with you know, virtual delivery, but some in-person opportunities, what we called hybrid classes, where they were in-person and virtual participants for some of your courses, but there were some classes that were fully virtual, but still some in-person opportunities for students who wanted those. But definitely, you know, an experience unlike any other, I think it's probably fair to say. Charlie, I feel like your class really, there's like a resilience to the class of 2022 that I've been around your class. I mean, people will continue to seek ways to stay connected, to get to know each other, kind of seek out those relationships. I was so impressed with everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's many different ways to look at a situation. And I think for us as a group, we were extremely positive. You know, we did have to go through those Zoom classes. And, you know, it was obviously when you're not in person, it's hard to really develop a real relationship with one another, in a friendship and a bond. And so it was ironic because I just remember, well, the first thing I will say is if you can be in person, if you feel safe and everything, and obviously if you follow the protocols and everything, it's definitely an experience unlike any other. And I will say that, you know, I really didn't come to one of the, first couple hybrid, and then I finally did come, and I haven't missed one since, and I don't plan on missing another one. And so it was just such a great experience. And I guess as a class, what we did was the second we were finally able to be in person, you know, we had been seeing each other's faces on Zoom for, you know, close to a year, and then we, you know, we get in person, and then it's just, you know, it's like that long lost friend that, you know, you pick back right up where you left off, but we grew even stronger just because of that in-person experience is really unlike any other.
And Brett, I would add too, you know, in anticipation of what we, you know, what the fall was probably going to be like, it was incredible how much the program stepped up, how much you and your team stepped up, and then even classmates before anything was formalized. So having optional classes throughout the spring and the summer, optional opportunities to kind of get to know each other in a social way, even though it was virtually. But the, you know, I never used WhatsApp until last or summer a year ago, and there was incredible amount of activity in the cohort. I think other classmates have said it. You know, the class was able to get to know each other and in a number of different ways, well before we had our orientation and our first day, you know, in the class. And so all the club leaders we have now and our class leadership, Catriona and Sean and all the other social, you know, cheerleaders we have, it's really been important. And so many people have stepped up.
Yeah, I can't say enough about the leadership from your class and just the group of people, the resilience. UVA, for our listeners who are wondering what's going on right now, I mean, we're recording this here in mid-September. UVA had a vaccination requirement for all students effective July 1. And so their vaccination requirement limited medical and religious exemptions to that requirement, but the vast, vast majority of students are fully vaccinated, and it makes it possible to resume normal operations. So Will and Charlie, their class will be here for weekend residency here in Roslyn. And if you know a little bit about the Executive MBA program, you know it's designed to be 2/3 in person, 1/3 online. So for those in-person elements, we're able to be in person. So weekend residencies, we had with the class of 2023, we had a week down in Charlottesville for LR1, just as the program is structured and designed. So certainly exciting times. I think going through this past year and a half has probably given everybody, us included, faculty and staff, an even deeper appreciation for the ability to be together and you know, people's willingness. You know, we've got mask guidelines right now, requirements on grounds, but people are following the rules and doing their part, which makes all of this possible. So credit to your class, the class of 2022. So Will, you kind of opened a door a little bit, and I want to talk about the occasion for our conversation. You're both leaders of the Executive MBA Entrepreneurship Club. This is one of, I think, now 7 official student organizations we have for Executive MBA students. It's one that goes back a few years, though. It's been around for a while. But our listeners may not be super familiar with the Entrepreneurship Club. So, Will, tell us a little bit more about what the Executive MBA Entrepreneurship Club, or EMBEC, as it is known, is all about.
Sure. It's exciting to be a part of a club. Again, it's been a long time. And so I think the way we look at EMBEC is a way to provide a support network for our program that, you know, helps provide, you know, guidance to our classmates and support through, you know, their own process of starting or funding new ventures or maybe acquiring an existing business. You know, now we're down the road. And what's really important here is that there are a lot of leadership opportunities, you know, with the EMBA program and with our club. You know, we have a number of leadership roles and really excited to have a really strong leadership team, you know, kind of trying to take this club that probably, you know, was virtual, you know, mostly, you know, the year before us. And now that we were able to be in person, we can really try to, you know, add some programming here. So whether that's happy hours or, you know, do networking and offering, you know, ways for students to kind of hear from each other about adventures that they're a part of or want to be a part of in the future. And so, you know, first and foremost, happy hours, as I said, you know, I think Darden is single-handedly keeping Open Road, the business across the street, you know, in business. And I think we had a really successful, Charlie, I wasn't in town. I couldn't be in town. So I know Charlie was here and I think it was probably one of the residencies, after we were virtual for a while. So I think, you know, almost the whole class came out to that. So it's really exciting to see the energy around that. And if EMBEC can help, you know, channel that, then wonderful. We've also held a couple online, you know, sessions that range from, you know, skill development. Cyrus Sussman did one in, you know, digital media marketing to practice pitches. And I was kind of the sacrificial lamb, talking through my own pitch deck for an agritourism and kind of craft beverage concept. But we hope to kind of build on that now that we're, you know, in our second year.
Well, that's all good stuff. I think we've traditionally, EMBEC has had things like pitch nights where people can come out and practice. So it's exciting to hear that that continues. Also exciting to hear just how EMBEC, like all of the organizations that we have in the Executive MBA world, provide community within a community. You know, these opportunities for students to connect around a common interest, or maybe they just want to hear about entrepreneurial ideas, or, you know, bounce off a few ideas they might have about a startup venture. Charlie, anything you would want to highlight here about EMBEC for our prospective student listeners who may be less familiar with the organization?
Yeah, I think just another thing I would add is we really want to be, you know, we want to be a resource to those who have that entrepreneurial spirit and who are really looking to, you know, either get their venture off the ground or at least, you know, like you just said, pitch an idea and get some feedback and input. But, you know, we want to be able to quickly point people in the right direction, as Darden has many resources to offer, such as Batten Institute, the Darden Library. There's different applications in the Darden Library, such as PitchBook. So there's many different things and resources that we want to be able to be. We want to be able to be that extension for the cohort and help them not only with getting their venture off the ground, but also, you know, being there for them and letting them know that if they need any help with anything, we're here as a leadership team and also as a club. We've built a pretty solid group that continually show up to our events. So we plan on having them provide input as well to anyone that's seeking it.
Well, one of the things that we talk with prospective students a lot about when it comes to thinking about their journey as an executive MBA student is that you're going to have, you know, a lot on your plate here. You're going to have, you know, probably around 15 to 20 hours of work per week. And that's probably, that number is probably going to be a little bit higher than that early on in the program as you just get, you know, adjusted to Darden. You get a feel for what it takes to learn in the case method, to be prepared for class. You tackle some, you know, pretty challenging courses. If you don't have as much quant in your background, you haven't done a lot of quantitative coursework, may not have as much exposure to math or accounting, finance, these kinds of things. Those courses are up front in this program. And so some learning curves for folks, typically in the first few quarters in a lot of directions. So it becomes really important to kind of prioritize what's most important to you as you think about your experience. And ideally, that list of priorities includes things that play out outside of the classroom, things like club leadership, being in meaningfully engaged with your classmates. Charlie, coming to you, just start things off with this question. How did you decide to be a leader of the Executive MBA Entrepreneurship Club? What attracted you to this opportunity?
Yeah, so I've always had the entrepreneurial spirit. So I started a company when I was 16. And then within the last 5 years, again, I was fortunate enough to be a part of two successful startups where I really did. I was able to be very involved in the different verticals of each of the companies. So for me, you know, just mixing those two experiences together, I really have always wanted to start a company. So, and that was another reason why coming to Darden, I believed, that I wanted to start a company, but more importantly with others. And I was fortunate enough to, within the past several months, teamed up with, two others in the class of 2022 in our cohort. And we're starting a venture focused in hospital logistics, a SaaS company that we're, you know, actively working on. And so that's been something that has really attracted me, but also just being able to give back. So I do have that experience, not quite the experience Will has, but it is, but I do want to be able to offer any type of startup experience that I have to my class and just be able to help in any way possible.
And Will, what led you to say, you know what, I want to be a leader within the Executive MBA Entrepreneurship Club?
Sure. I think Charlie and I both believe that, you know, service to our class through club leadership is a powerful way to give back to Darden. I think personally for both of us too, it's a great way to hone our leadership skills. And, I think a big part of the Darden MBA experience is learning about and practicing leadership. So co-leading MBA is another chance to practice what we're learning about leadership and to do so alongside with a really terrific cabinet of club VPs. And like Charlie, aware a number of different hats in my, you know, in my work life and kind of in the middle of a few different ventures, you know, and trying to be focused on, you know, a couple. So while I'm in this mindset and now, especially moving into year two, where we're taking a lot of electives, it seemed like the right time to jump in club leadership, knowing that hopefully a lot of the more challenging topics are a little bit behind me.
Well, Will, I want to stay with you for another question here. So MBEC, sounds like y'all been busy. You're doing things, you're finding ways, still provide programming and support, even in the midst of the pandemic. What are you looking forward to in the months ahead? What's on tap?
Yeah, we're excited to build stronger connections with the Batten Institute, as Charlie said, and support our fellow students in road testing any new ventures. There's a real hunger for building relationships in our classes. We just talked about a few minutes ago. So that's a key focus for the club. And now we have a whole new crop of members from the class of 2023. Last week, the club fair for the 23s, I think we had at least 35 of them sign up, and that on top of our 45 from our class, this is becoming a pretty large group. So we're going to pull both classes together for an event, and kind of the way we kicked things off a few months ago, we want to make sure we engage them early on and hope that we can do that. And I think Charlie's probably got a few ideas on some events coming up.
Yeah, Charlie, yeah. What events are currently planned?
Yeah, so we want to go ahead and, again, bring both those classes together, 2022 and 2023, and introduce our leadership team, kick off with maybe some early entrepreneurs pitching their idea to the group for, obviously, feedback and input. And then also Will is working on an event. We're looking to host Senator Mark Warner, which would be a great event. He's going to talk about his book and leadership in general. And he has some entrepreneurial experience, as well as just being a senator is a great learning experience for everyone to be a part of. And then last but not least, we plan on hosting a few more happy hours, of course.
Oh, well, but on that note, with this last summer grain growing success we've had in the Southwest, we're hoping to have another unofficial Darden brand, adult beverage here with our specialty grain, our barley that was grown in Southwest Virginia. So we hope to be bringing that back again this year. And so I think if we can use MBEC as a way to showcase some work that folks in the club are doing, that's exciting. In fact, this weekend, I've been growing pumpkins all summer. I've got a trunk load is probably about 35 pumpkins here that we're going to find some way to give away. And they look pretty nice.
All right. Well, always, Will, I feel like you're always doing something. If it's not grains, then it's pumpkins. So I appreciate you stay on the hustle.
Watermelons are next year. Along with the pumpkins.
All right, man. I may take you up on the watermelon. I'll be honest with you. Not much of a pumpkin guy. Really weird to say that here in peak pumpkin season. We were recording this like at the height of pumpkin spice latte season. Yeah, not a pumpkin guy. Watermelon, though, definitely.
That's right.
All right. Well, we asked the same last question here of all of our guests. Y'all are now year two of the program, your executive MBA program experts. Charlie, I wonder if you have a piece of advice, a tip you would share with our prospective student listeners.
Yeah, I would say get to know your classmates, spend time with them, learn from them. I think managing your time to the best of your ability is going to be really important. Try and do that from the very beginning. Set expectations with yourself. And then lastly, I would say take advantage of the professors with office hours and just reaching out to them. They have all been extremely accommodating with their time. And they're obviously an excellent resource alongside your classmates.
All right, Will, any tips, suggestions for our listeners here?
Yeah, just a bit on what Charlie said, especially on that last point there, leveraging, the expertise, the experience of your professors and classmates. I mean, I've been very fortunate to work with Jason Brewster, the Batten Institute, on my own, venture, and which, works at this point in our program. Really great, given our work in marketing and entrepreneurial thinking. So taking advantage of every opportunity, big or small, to engage with the network that's just all around you.
Will, Charlie, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. As always, it's great catching up with you. I look forward to seeing you around for the weekend residency here in Roslyn this weekend.
Thanks, Brett.
Thank you very much, Brett.
And that was my conversation with Will Payne and Charlie O'Farrell, two students in our Executive MBA Class of 2022 and leaders of the Executive MBA Entrepreneurship Club. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA at darden.virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.